Hello and welcome to In Depth. That's the PSA program here on all Lotus radio stations. I'm the host, Ian Sorensen, in the studio. Big pleasure to have him. Mark Tatter, blindness advocacy resource officer, with the Northern Nevada Center for Independent Living. How are you, Mark?
I'm great, and thanks for having me today.
It's a big pleasure to have you, and I want to kind of get your take. You are blind, and I kind of want to get your background and your kind of a sense of your life as far as how you've reacted to such a thing.
Sure. Well, I was diagnosed with a degenerative retinal disease when I was just a tween, I guess.
Okay.
Way back in the day.
Yeah.
And they told me that I better get out and explore the world and that kind of thing. So I kind of had some warning that this was coming, but
right.
They did tell me that by the time I was 40, I would be completely blind. And right now I'm actually 52, and that didn't necessarily come on the way they thought, but in the last 6 years, it did progress so that I wasn't able to drive, I wasn't able to see or read computer screens or print and things like that. And basically, so I did have some preparation for it. So
right.
I can tell you one thing is that I thought I knew what was going to happen, but it was kind of a different, there were things that were different that I wasn't really prepared for. And that is why I am where I am now, because I found out that some of the services that I'd thought would be available really weren't. And it was kind of a struggle initially to get some of the training that I needed to be able to go on, continue to work, and lead an independent life.
Yeah. But you were doing that.
I mean, doing that now. Yes,
yeah.
I am.
So what are some things that you were not expecting, I guess, when you kind of
To be honest, some of the skills like navigating and traveling, I thought that like getting around, particularly flying anywhere, would be really challenging. But it turns out those are things that with training, you can learn to do. You
yeah.
can find entertainment. There's lots of places to attend events, everything from baseball, the Aces. I'm a big Aces fan. I go to a lot of games.
Wonderful.
And, hiking and things like that. But one of the things that I wasn't prepared for was the reaction of people. Like very, very often people are, they feel as if someone who's blind or has low vision isn't going to be able to participate or isn't capable of doing things. And regularly
right.
I'm walking down the street going to work or somewhere and people are stopping their cars to grab me, to take me across the street and things like that. And it's really kind of surprisingly unnecessary because
yeah.
I know where I'm going.
Yeah. And do you feel a little bit, I don't know, is there some sense of condescension there when people kind of go out of their way to help you? Because you're doing fine on your own.
Yeah, I prefer to think that people are just friendly. They're
yeah.
trying to help.
Yeah.
No one's doing it vindictively or anything.
Right.
Like
I wouldn't think they are. But still, it must get a little, okay, guys, I know what I'm doing,
Yeah. 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 But, the one thing I love about working at the Northern Nevada Center for Independent Living is that, you do meet people who often come in with those expectations. They think, well, I can't do anything.
Right.
I can't go and do that. I took two guys who are big baseball fans and haven't been to a baseball game since they lost their eyesight.
Wow.
And we went to the Aces game this week and watched the whole game. We listened to it on the radio while it's being played. And, it's a lot of fun. And they were very happy to get back into the stick, and I guess we're going to go see the Cubs this week also.
Oh,
see
wow.
That.
That's awesome.
They want to go back. So
cool.
It's lots of fun.
That's really beautiful. Yeah. You don't have to have a reduced life because of this visual impairment. You can still, live a full life and have a great time.
Yeah. And the way we do it is we talk to people, when we get in contact with them, we find out what their goals are, what their dreams are, what they want to learn to do. Some people want to go sailing or want to go skiing, or they just want to be able to go to the movies and find out what's happening in the movie and not just, hear explosions and shouting, and
right.
they can actually get an audio described version headset at the movie theater and learn
okay.
that, it's described to them and tell them what they want, what's going on in the movie.
That's fantastic. So, how did you find yourself, kind of involved with Northern Nevada Center for Independent Living?
It was a little bit of a roundabout thing in that I initially started working, running a nonprofit that we were housed out of there, which was an organization called the Sierra Nevada Transportation Coalition. And we helped find solutions for people with disabilities, seniors, and people living in poverty for transportation plans here in Washoe County. So
okay.
We were initially housed in there, and that's when I met the whole gang there, and really was able to explain to them, sort of by just being there, some of the issues related to services that just don't exist in Washoe County, at least at the time, mm-hmm. for people with low vision or blindness. And they really started to understand that, you know, there really needs to be a resource made available for people so that they can get on and do the things that exactly what the center wants to do, which is help people lead an independent life.
Exactly so. So how long ago did you actually start working there?
I started this year. So
oh,
this is
this
a new
year.
Program. Yeah, just in new January. Program. Now I've been there for 3 years.
3 years.
Before
okay.
that, sort of, you know, talking with them and working with them, but it was with the other nonprofit.
I got you. All right. Are you doing like, are you doing double duty now? Are you still with the coalition?
No, we've actually sort of moved on from the SNTC. The programs that we did set up are still active, but we've handed them off to other nonprofits.
Oh, okay. Very good. So the legacy continues with that.
Yes.
That's very good. So what are some of the resources, some of the programs that you kind of oversee or maybe help with when it comes to the Center for Independent Living?
So we work with people. We do provide resources and references and sort of we tell people about things that are available in the community, but we do have many programs. We have a cooking program. So we teach people
wow.
how to cook. And we'll our next cooking classes will be the first Tuesday of August, where we're going to learn how to cook breakfast and bacon and all that stuff. Stuff that I think people would be worried to put bacon in a frying pan, that kind of thing.
Right. But, I'm worried about that, and I'm, yeah, I can see fine.
There's a way to do it, and
yeah,
we
exactly.
know it, and we'll teach it. And so it's a hands-on program, and we teach people how those skills work. We also have technology classes. The iPhone actually talks. A lot of people aren't aware of this, but it comes out of the box set up for low vision and blind people.
Wow.
Both with magnification, the way it looks, or a feature called VoiceOver. We also are going to have classes to use the Android in a similar way. We teach how to use your computer with a screen reader. We're also teaching some skills in navigating and traveling around town. I'm a dedicated bus rider, so I know the system. I won't say better than the bus drivers, but yeah, I do.
But
I
pretty dang close. Yeah. No, just say it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
take the credit.
Yeah, so we offer a lot of classes, and then a lot of the softer skills, sort of encouraging people, and just when I talk to people and they're at home, and you know they might have a family member taking them around, I say, you know, there's no reason for that. You know, I
okay.
can get you out and about. We can teach you along with some of the other programs that are available. We can teach and advise them on how they can learn how to use a white cane or how to. You know, how to prepare documents and things for traveling and things like that. So
gotcha.
It's the world. It's really up to them, the consumer who comes in as to what they want to learn.
And how can people kind of sign up for these classes?
Well, you can always either stop by our center, which is at 999 Pyramid Way in Sparks. It's right next to Sparks Florist.
Okay.
Or you can call us at 775-353-3599 and ask for Mark. Or you can check out our website, which is nncil.org, and either fill out a form or just read about what information and what events we have coming up.
All right. And how many people are you working with or teaching these classes to at any given time?
Well, it depends on the class. The cooking, okay. we try to keep it a little bit smaller so it's manageable and
right.
people can actually, you know, cook the food and do the things. But we have classes where we teach the iPhone that have sometimes over 20 people there. Usually we pair off and have people that are more experienced work with other people. And that way, you know, it's not so much of a class necessarily as a peer group. But I have currently over 35 people that I'm working with.
Wow. That's really cool. So as far as voids go that you're trying to fill in Washoe County, are there some other programs that you'd like to set up in the future? Or any problems you're seeing that you're like, man, we need to do something about this as soon as possible?
Well, we're trying to dip our toe into recreation. There's not a lot of programs for folks to get out and get some exercise,
right.
that kind of thing. A lot of machines that are available in gyms and things like that. They're those flat panel touchscreens and completely unusable unless you bring your 13-year-old son like I do.
Exactly.
But, you know, hiking, there's a lot of outdoor stuff to do around here. I regularly go skiing. And there's programs at all the ski resorts for folks who, you know, need a guide or somebody like that, something like that. Cycling and sort of other recreational programs, you know. And then we also are getting ready to start a public speaking group so that people can get up and talk and learn how to advocate for themselves or for the, you know, the system itself. and participate on boards and community events.
Very good.
And just be involved.
Cool. And what could we do, I mean, as allies out in the world in Washoe County, can we to help you guys out and fill these voids as well?
I think spread the word. I think that there's just a lot of, unfortunately, in Nevada, there's over 100,000 people who are blind or have low vision to the point where it's affecting things they want to do. Like they're not able to drive, so they feel like, well, I'll just stay home forever unless someone wants to pick me up. So if you know someone like that, you know, encourage them to contact us and see what's available, because we certainly have a lot of programs that can sort of upend that and get them back into what they used to do and get them involved. They'll meet a lot of folks that are doing it,
okay.
You know, and they're already out there living that life they want to live.
Gotcha. And we have a presidential election coming up. It feels like we're always campaigning, but what when it comes to voting, what can we do to help out the blind community?
Well, you know, in some states, it's a real issue with voting. In that they might have a machine that's not accessible, or they might not even have a machine. They might have like a paper ballot or something like that. In Nevada, they have a brand new system that they bought and they use in all the counties, and it actually talks. You can vote independently as a person with low vision or blind, and each polling location should have that set up. The big problem here in Nevada is that the absentee ballot is completely inaccessible, and there's no way for a person to vote independently, anonymously, without, you know, asking someone to help them fill out the ballot. So we're hoping that we can address that with the Secretary of State and get that taken care of, like a lot of other states have recently.
Okay, cool. So are you maybe doing some lobbying or?
We were involved this year down in the Assembly, and we got a bill passed that would protect the rights of people who are disabled from having their children taken away. There was an incident a couple years ago here in Nevada where a woman lost her child because she was blind, and the Child Protective Services felt that that disqualified her from being a parent at all. Huh. And so we were able to go and by working with the Assembly, attending, sitting in the gallery and sitting on the floor and just sort of talking to them and saying, look, this is ridiculous. And they were able to – we got the bill passed. It was Assembly Bill 140, and I've got a signed copy on the wall in my office. I'm very proud of it.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you for the work that you do. Maybe give out information, website, location again, so people know all.
Sure.
About it.
We're over in Sparks at 999 Pyramid Way, and our phone number is 775-353-3599. Ask for Mark, and I will call you back if I'm not there. And also, you can look at our website, which is nncil.org.
All right. Fantastic. Mark Tatter, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.